Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call of BlackBuck Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Varma, Whole-time Director and CEO of BlackBuck Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you all are doing well. On behalf of BlackBuck Limited, I would like to welcome you to our Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. I'll start with an overview of our business performance, and then our CFO, Deepak Bansal, will walk you through the financials. Starting with quarter two performance, I'm pleased to share that our revenue for quarter two FY 2026 reached 1,585 crore, marking a solid step up of 14% quarter-on-quarter and 6% year-on-year, underscoring the business momentum we are building. The strong sequential growth is on the back of stronger execution. Looking ahead, we expect H2 FY 2026 to be stronger than H1. This confidence is driven by a healthy and diversified order book, improving visibility into key regional pipelines, and stronger execution momentum across the businesses. On top of that, previously delayed projects are now moving into the delivery phase, which further strengthens our outlook. In short, we see the second half outperforming the first half, supported by a larger and more diversified order book, increased visibility into the USA and Europe pipeline, and the progression of delayed projects into delivery. We're also seeing strong traction in high-growth areas such as data centers and AI-led digital infrastructure, particularly across the U.S. and hyperscaler segments. To capture these expanding opportunities, we are building the specialized data center AI services team in the U.S. that will focus on higher-value, multi-hyperscaler engagements. Further, on the strategic front, we are happy to share that BlackBuck has partnered with Wind River, an Aptiv company and global leader in intelligent edge software, to deliver next-generation edge and cloud solutions across industries. As part of this partnership, we have secured the right to sell Wind River solutions globally, with preferred status in India and the Middle East. In addition, under a separate agreement, BlackBuck will manage end-user customer engagements across multiple geographies. This collaboration is expected to generate approximately 1,350 crores in revenue over the next 5 years, $30 million annually, further strengthening our position to scale up and diversify our revenue base. By combining Wind River's cutting-edge solutions with BlackBuck's deep integration expertise, we are well-positioned to drive accelerated digital transformation for our customers. Turning to the order book, momentum in Q2 remains strong, with the backlog at the end of quarter standing at $555 million, up from $518 million at the close of Q1 FY 2026. Order bookings during the quarter were robust at $218 million, over 1,900 crores, compared to $176 million in Q1 FY 2026, reflecting an increase of $42 million. For the first half FY 2026, total order book stood at $394 million. Based on the current trajectory, we remain well on track to achieve our full-year order booking target of $1 billion, driven by continued focus on high-value contracts. Notable orders during the quarter included significant extensions from companies' existing large-value clients for networking and connectivity from the company's largest global financial services customer, and further engagement from our hyperscale customers. reinforcing BlackBox's position as a trusted partner in complex, high-value digital infrastructure programs. The company received orders in digital workplace from U.S.-based local county and a sizable order from a healthcare institution. Financial services, healthcare, and data center continued to contribute higher across the vertical served. In addition to the expansions, the company secured new client wins across education, municipal sectors in India, reflecting the growing breadth of its market reach and the success of its go-to-market strategy. Our order book will continue to expand as we execute on our new go-to-market strategy, supported by experienced leadership and business teams now in place across verticals and horizontal solutions. This foundation positions us well to achieve our long-term goal of reaching $2 billion in revenues by fiscal 29, backed by growing and diversified order pipeline. To summarize, with the business transformation program now largely complete and with a more focused go-to-market structure in place, we are moving decisively towards sustained revenue acceleration and a higher quality business mix through FY26. We are seeing a significant headroom for growth driven by digital infrastructure demand, which is fueling fresh deployments and modernization of technology infrastructure. Backed by these strong fundamentals and market tailwinds, we are confident of delivering a stronger second half. Thank you. I will now hand over to Deepak to take you through the financial performance in detail.
Thank you, Sanjeev, for the detailed overview. Good morning, everybody. I will now discuss our financial performance for Q2 and H1 of fiscal 26. Revenue for quarter 2, FY26, stood at ₹1,585 crore, witnessing a growth of 14% quarter-on-quarter and 6% year-on-year on the back of strong execution. For H1 FY26, revenue stood at ₹2,970 crores. EBITDA for the quarter stood at ₹142 crore, representing a growth of 17% quarter-on-quarter and 4% year-on-year. EBITDA margins improved by 60 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis to 9% in quarter 2 of FY26. EBITDA margins recovered from 8.4% in quarter 1 due to higher revenue throughput and better fixed cost absorption. For H1, EBITDA grew by 4% year-on-year and stood at Rs. 259 crores with margins at 8.7%. Looking ahead, we expect near-term margins to remain within the guided range. Over the medium term, margin expansion will be supported by improved operating leverage as volumes scale, a continued shift in business mix towards data center and enterprise transformation engagements, and sustained focus on cost discipline and delivery efficiency. As we execute our strategic priorities, we see potential for further margin improvement and continued strengthening of overall profitability. Profit after tax for quarter 2 of fiscal 26 stood at Rs. 56 crores, a growth of 17% quarter-on-quarter and 9% year-on-year, reflecting strong operating leverage and improved profitability in the core portfolio. For H1 of FY26, PAT increased by 17% year-on-year and stood at Rs. 103 crores, with margin increasing by 50 basis points to 3.5% in H1 of FY26. As revenue growth accelerates in H2 of FY26, profit after tax expansion is further expected to outpace top line growth, driven by margin normalization, improved revenue quality, and greater contribution from high value US opportunities. As Sanjeev highlighted earlier, quarter 2 saw continued strong order momentum with the backlog reaching at $555 million at quarter end, up from $518 million at the close of quarter 1 of FY26. Order bookings for the first half of FY26 were robust at $394 million. Driven by this momentum, we remain on track to achieve our full year FY26 financial guidance, fueled by a sustained focus on high-value contracts as well as in the data center segment. To summarize, with strong order wins, growing backlog, strong execution capabilities, deepening client relationships, and a healthy pipeline, the company is firmly on a growth trajectory. We remain confident in delivering an even stronger performance in second half of the year. Thank you, and I would now request the moderator to open the floor for the questions.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Deep Shah from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. So it's good to hear that you've maintained your full guidance. That implies somewhat like 25% revenue growth and somewhat similar EBITDA growth in second half of the year. So my question is, as we move into 27-28, do we expect this, say, early 20s kind of revenue momentum to sustain given the order backlog that will increase, or on a slightly medium term basis, revenue growth should again come down to, say, early teens or mid teen kind of levels? That would be the first question. And then, accordingly, you did assure that margins will improve because of OPLEX, but that is more like 27-28, or do you mean slightly even further ahead, next 3-4 years? So that's your first question.
Okay. I'll break it to your answer in 3 parts. One for the revenue for H2. Then the second question was revenue growth for the next fiscal year, and then, of course, the margin expansion. So we expect, Deepak alluded as well, and in my comments, we expect our second half to be stronger than the first half at the back of the pipeline. We expect to be able to meet the guidance between 12 and 15% of sequential growth. And I think our order book currently would support that, and the pipeline that we have for the remainder of the year should be able to support our current year guidance that people just alluded to. Coming back to the next year, fiscal 26, 27 and beyond, I think our plans are well emulated. We talked about overall goal for the next fiscal 29 to $2 billion. The organic growth plan is close to 15%, so we expect our organic plan for fiscal 26-27 in that range, although it's too slightly early. So if we go higher than that, that will depend upon our exit backlog that possibly when we guide that when we get into the last quarter. Our pipelines are very, very strong. But clearly, our overall go-to-market momentum, our overall investments, our overall pipeline, is currently giving us confidence that we should be able to be at the mid double-digit range for organic perspective going forward in fiscal 26-27 and beyond. Coming back on the margin expansion, I'll give it to Deepak to allude the efficiency of scale and whether we expect some margin expansion within the current year as well.
So margin expansion will little bit depend on the volume growth. The volume growth of let's say roughly around 10 to 12% quarter on quarter we are estimating right now. So in the current year, we are estimating that the margins should play in the range of, let's say, 9 to 9.5% type of range. But in FY27, obviously, on this sustenance will continue in FY27 and with the growth coming in and all those stuff, we will see that on an organic basis, our margins will continue to be hover around 10% or moving upwards to that.
Sure. This is very helpful. Second question is on the cash flow. So, if you just help us understand better, the inventory increase of roughly 180 crores, kind of represented on the liability side by 186 crore provision increase, and then receivable increase of 107 crores, which effectively made our cash flow conversion pretty poor. So if you could explain what has led to this, and will be a fair expectation that this will completely reverse in second half of the year, or there will be some spillover into 27 also?
So you know, I think all your As we have announced earlier, and today also Sanjeev spoke about a Wind River agreement and a Wind River partnership. So we have partnered with Wind River, and you know, we have committed to buy the licenses from Wind River to have those platforms which we have launched in partnership with them globally. And against that, we have purchased the inventory of those licenses at a very deep discount rate, which will drive obviously in the future the revenue, which I think Sanjeev spoke about, $30 million on an annualized basis, which will scale up slowly now from next quarter, which is quarter three onwards. It will scale up, which will drive the revenue. So the most of the inventory increase, I will say 100% of the inventory increase is due to those licenses. What has also happened is that we have negotiated the payment terms of that inventory. So as per the GAAP, what has happened is those licenses have come and sit in our inventory, and the payment terms we have negotiated is a longer tenure. The first payment, so we are paying in 8 installments to them, and the first payment starts from December 2026. So that is not sitting in the accounts payable, but that is sitting in the non-current liability, because that is a longer tenure. Part of that will come next quarter in the current liability because of the 1 year type of nature. So that's the overall, let's say, on the working capital side of it. You also asked about the increase in receivable. So which is increase in receivable is close to around 100 crores. The 100 crores receivable is primarily because, you know, the most of the, there's a lot of invoicing which happens to our customers in the month end, and in the month end, the last 10 days period, and all those things, because we have always in our business, we always will have a skewness within the quarter where the first month one and month two will be probably between 55 to 57% of the overall quarterly revenues, and the most of the revenues happens in the last month of the quarter. So because of that, that receivable, so let's say around 60% of the overall revenue, or let's say around 55% of the revenue comes in the last month. So because of that, the receivable has built up, and we have already started collecting the money now in this quarter. We have collected the money, and that's how the cash flow cycle goes on.
Sure, this is very useful. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Nandan Arikal from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So we won an engagement from Wind River. So this is a IoT software provider. What is the rough split between the reselling and the management contracts in this deal? And what are the margin expected in this deal?
I missed the first line. What are the first question?
What would be the rough split between the reselling and the management contract aspect within the deal? And what is roughly the margin profile we're looking at?
No, the first, your first question is still not clear, Nandan. Can you be a little clarify what you are looking at on the first question? Second question of the margin is clear. The first question you are saying reselling or what?
Reselling, and so we are doing both the reselling aspect and the management of engagement. So what is the split between that?
So these are two separate agreements and contracts. This is a strategic partnership worldwide. Just to give some light on the Wind River, a part of an active company, publicly traded, $21 billion. Wind River is a virtualized software service provider for both from an IoT standpoint and also from large telecom operators. So it is adjacent to products by VMware, Red Hat. This puts Black Box within the platform space that we didn't have. We do connectivity, network, cyber, data center. This is a platform space. So just to explain what this is about, as more and more edge data centers, more and more IoT and OT is built in manufacturing, the need for this software will increase, and therefore Black Box considered a global partnership. The split for these two are not connected. Our services partnership, as I told before, is an agreement. We have a potential agreement of over 1,350 crore over 5 years' time. If you look at over the 5 years' time, we expect the average quarterly revenue between 40 and 60 crores. So that's our services revenue. The product revenue or licensing revenue will have 2-3 modes. One, of course, we will be selling the license, we'll be installing, and there'll be some services as well. So these are not connected. But if you look at the potential of that, I would say 50-50 on both sides. If you add both and say what we expect over the next 5 years' time, it would be about 50-50. From a margin perspective, for the support and services margin, we are looking between 25 and 30%. We expect similar margin overall blended from our software sale as well. It could be sometimes we have got, like Deepak said, we have got a very good discounting because it's long-term partnership. He's also arranged a kind of a long-term payment plan. So we expect the average margin in that range as well, although some cases we'll possibly have better margin, in some cases we might have slightly lower. But we should be able to have a licensing margin when sale of software at 25-31% and the support services margin in the range of 20-30%. So that's our expectation. Deepak, what do you want to add?
Yeah, so license, technically, I think we are pushing our sales team because we have purchased those licenses at deep discount and the competition is only with VMware. And the VMware pricing standard price level, which is the MRP level, MSP level, is almost like 3x of the Wind River licenses. Now it is on our sales team. We already have the sales team training going on right now on all these things and internally. So by this quarter it will pick up. We are expecting like from some customers 30%, some 40 and some 50 also on this, but on a blended basis the license margin should be, we are expecting at least I'm modeling right now at around 35%.
Okay, what is it? So this will be booked in TPS segment, right?
No, this will be in GSI. This will be in GSI segment only.
So this is a services business. This is a compute, storage, and platform business. Right?
Yeah.
So we will be, as we speak, this is an initiative to expand our portfolio. The current portfolio had a missing link of platforms. With more and more edge data centers and computing and AI coming in, we expect, and more IoT coming in, we expect that we should be playing in this space. And that's the reason we have had this tight partnership. It is a global partnership, very strategic, not only for buying and selling licenses, but also supporting many of Wind River's existing customers as well. That's the support contract.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of CA Gravit Goel from Invest Analytic Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Am I audible?
Yes.
Congrats for a good set of numbers, sir. My first question is on inorganic growth. We are speaking about, and in fact, we have been speaking about it for a while now. I want to understand at what stage of evaluation are we currently in, and when can we expect something material out of it, sir?
So, Gavit, we, like last time also, I think we spoke about it, that we continue to look at the opportunities. We have a huge pipeline, like we have the sales order pipeline, we have the pipeline for the acquisitions also. And like we stated earlier also, that we are very, very prudent in terms of our capital deployment. We are taking a little bit of time in terms of decision making, in terms of reviewing it, engagement, and you know how these inorganic opportunities work, that it is not like there is a one variable which needs to be solved. There are like multiple variables which are getting into the angle, including the geography, the sellers, the business itself, what are the cost taking opportunities, what are the revenue growth opportunities, and what is the multiple ultimately we are paying, how prudently we can deploy our capital and generate the returns. And that is where everything is right now going on. So I can say that by end of this fiscal year, we should have at least, let's say, the good some good news available in terms of the acquisition and all those things, and at right opportune time, obviously, as soon as we will take it to the board as we make the progress, and then accordingly we will inform obviously the market about it.
And so what is the potential size we are looking at? And you mentioned about the geography as well. So what is the geography are we targeting? what kind of areas do
so,
we look for?
So I think BlackBox is a global company, so we are targeting across all the markets, Americas, Europe, APAC. So we our thesis for acquisition is expansion of geography, going deeper in our portfolios, and of course remaining value accretive from a shareholder standpoint. So these are the three thesis points. From a size perspective, of course, we said we look at between $50 million moving up, going up to a couple of hundred. Our total inorganic goal for the next 4 years' time is about $700-800 million sales, revenues. Yeah, so clearly we don't want to make 20-30 acquisitions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you look at, so we are looking at a kind of a mid-range between 50 and 100.
Yeah, 50 to 200. And then the capital deployment, obviously, to buy those type of revenues, obviously, we don't want to pay all the amount upfront. We will have all those negotiations where we pay between 60% and 70% upfront, and then balance amount we pay in year one, year two, and all those things. So like I told, there are a lot of variables on which we are working on, and the geographies also. In some of the geographies, we are subscale. We are not opening any new country. We are within our countries. We have the economies of scale, which is missing right now in a lot of countries, and that is where the economies of scale will come into a country. And of course, the US continues to be our largest market, so the US will be in the picture all the time.
Got it, sir. And secondly, on the tax rate, sir. So currently, our tax rate seems to be very low. So when can we expect these rates to be normalized? And what is the expected tax rate for this financial year on full year basis, and for next financial year as well?
So you know, the tax rate is basically works basis that what are the past, what is my revenue and profitability mix geography wise. And we have the past NOLs which are available in some geographies from the acquisition what we have made, because those companies were earlier making the losses, and those carry forward losses in terms of the net operating losses. We have some statute of limitation and all those things which we are utilizing on a regular basis. So this year we should be able to maintain at between, let's say, 8 to 10% type of tax rate, or let's say a little lower than that. We are H1 now, so H2 also I'm not expecting that the rate should go up more than that. But from a long term perspective, maybe down the line after a couple of years or something, we should stabilize at between 15% and 20%. We continue to work on our structure so that how we can do between our multi geography structure, how we can plan so that we between the BlackBox group itself we can have the tax management and all those things, so that our tax rate doesn't go more than 15-20%. And it also will depend on the new inorganic opportunities which come into the play, and will the future tax rate will depend on that too, with our stated objective of growing through inorganic acquisition.
So is it fair to assume, like, whatever the PAT guidance we are giving, we are taking into consideration the tax rate aspect as well, right?
Sorry, tax rate?
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Next question comes from the line of Sanjay Damp, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I have two questions. First is, what is your comfort regarding debt to EBITDA when you do inorganic acquisitions? And secondly, the kind of cash conversion and cash from operations that we've seen, should we take that as a normal rate of cash conversion and cash from operation in future? Thank you.
So what is the first question?
Debt to EBITDA
ratio. Okay. So like I think we have stated all the time that we are not acquiring the companies which are fully priced. So from a overall basis, we will be acquiring the companies which are let's say the sub optimal in terms of the profitability and all. So we will be paying the lesser amount, and we will be paying between let's say 60% and 70% upfront. So the EBITDA obviously will flow, number one, whatever company is making, and number two, in next let's say 90 to 180 days, we will have the EBITDA transformation story done. And with the transformation, the EBITDA margin range should go between 9% to 10%, depending on how let's say the transformation happens in terms of the integration and everything, between 90 to 180 days. So on a let's say transformed basis, after 180 days or after 6 months, we are expecting that our leverage should not go more than probably 1.5 to 2x. It should remain between that. I am not expecting leverage to go up much. Right now also, on basis our overall EBITDA, we are not leveraged more than 1.5x anyway. So from that perspective, I am expecting that it should be within that range only. From a cash flow from operations perspective, this quarter, obviously because of the inventory and all those stuff, our working capital has moved up more. But otherwise, we are not expecting that this quarter, this Wind River inventory has taken up our working capital little bit more. But otherwise, I am not expecting much on the working capital to change. The working capital deployment will continue to be there when we are growing our business. If our business is growing by 10% to 15%, obviously for every growth, we have to have almost like 25%, because we are in a services business. So for every dollar of the growth, we will have a 0.25 of the working capital involved. So I cannot give as a percentage, because it is on the business and it is on a timing also, that because when we are reporting the numbers on any given date, the working capital may be a little higher or lower, because the payroll cycle it depends on the payroll cycle, because like in US, which is our largest geography, the payroll doesn't happen on the month end. Payroll, there are two payrolls happen on the different days depending on the weekly cycles. So there are lot of things which goes into it, but on an average basis, if we look at it between the four quarters, then the working capital deployment will be probably close to around 0.2 to 0.3x of our overall growth.
Yeah, thanks. That's very clear. One last question, if I may. When I look at your growth aspiration of $2 billion that you said, breaking it into two parts, organic and inorganic, your organic growth hasn't been much, but that's probably because you have been churning your portfolio of clients, and you've been stuck somewhere around the 6,000 crore mark in the last couple of years, or slightly more than that. But is your growth aspiration, if I understood correct from your statement earlier, around about 15% going ahead?
Yes. Yes. I just alluded that earlier in the call as well. So we expect from a growth perspective, organic growth perspective, in the mid-teens range of 15%. Okay, can we do more than that? I know we will give a guidance towards the end of the year for next fiscal year. As I said, the pipeline remains very, very strong. So our current organic growth plans are at 15%. That's what we are guiding. And the balance, of course, inorganic to go to our people.
So if I understand correctly, from 6,000 crores that you did last year, roughly if you keep growing at 15%, that's broadly about, that will bring you to around 9,500 crores by FY29, somewhere around that. And if you are to reach $2 billion, broadly that probably is another, 9,000 crores. Broadly, which has to come from acquisition. That understanding is correct?
Yeah, so we are looking at between $1.1 to $1.2 billion of organic revenues by fiscal 29, and about $750 to $800 million worth of acquisition, revenue acquisition to total by fiscal 29, you're right, to be able to go to $2 billion.
Got it. Thanks, gentlemen. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Vivek Chararia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sanjeev and Deepa. Thank you for the opportunity. Finally, we see some growth as you had guided for. I just have a couple of questions. On the order booking front, you have said that we are aiming for $1 billion 12 months end in FY26. There are about 400. Do you see, is the traction increasing on the ground? And in your order booking, we are almost halfway through Q3. How confident are you in achieving that? And your GTM strategy, is that completely in place now? And do you feel confident that your sales people are doing that? So I just wanted to get a more qualitative understanding of the situation as far as the order booking is concerned. Thank you.
Yeah. So the first response is yes, we feel confident on our booking goal of $1 billion. You know, we are about at the 40% mark, as you rightly alluded. Based on our current pipeline, deals in motion, expected pipelines and conversations, some of them are personally involved, we feel very confident that we should be able to deliver $1 billion worth of bookings in the current fiscal year, as we have said. That will put us into a good stage to be able to drive our organic aspiration for fiscal 26 and 27. From a go-to-market perspective, as I alluded, a large part, and I think there's always a room for improvement, Vivek, as you know, I think we are seeing stabilization. Our consideration rate over with large enterprises, large deals have significantly improved. We have rehashed our pipeline. On the data center front, as you know, we had one very large hyperscale customer. That engagement with multiple hyperscalers at this time has started. We have put one of the most strongest team on the sales side, led by Sean McGuire, on the operations side by Bill Walters, and of course our CEO Rick Gannon and others. I think we have recently concluded a very large event in Washington D.C. in Virginia, which is the data center capital, and as you know. So we are also seeing large momentum. So between our enterprise go-to-market, which is run by Jay Venkat, across healthcare, banking, and others, and very focused data center that we had put up a team in the last 6 months' time, the combination of the GTM engagement on both sides of the aisle, and the conversations that we have, the pipeline that we have, we feel we are confident to deliver $1 billion of booking that will allow us to have a very decent opening backlog getting into fiscal 2027, that will provide confidence to drive our organic momentum from here. So the answer is positive on each front that you asked for.
Sanjeev, on the data center front, I mean, we've been talking that the opportunity is large, and that is, the market does show that, but we've been very far behind the curve as far as getting orders is concerned. I mean, these hyperscalers have been investing couple of $100 billion for the past 2-3 years, but we've barely scratched the surface. So do you feel that within the next quarter or two, we will hit a point where we start getting larger value orders? I mean, I'm just trying to get an understanding as to if we were getting, say, a 5-10 million order, can we now aspire to get $50-100 million orders? I'm just trying to understand in terms of the capabilities that we will take.
Very good question. So we not only aspire, we're confident to get the $50-100 million orders within the next 5 months of this fiscal. The fact that I've been repeating our goal for $1 billion, and Deepak alluded to that as well. Clearly, if we have to go to $600 million of the booking, we would need that from a perspective. The answer is yes. So we are into multiple deals, and of course, as you know, we can't win all deals, and surely we can't lose all deals. So yes. Apart from 10, 15, 20 million, that will continue. We love those things as well. That gives us real momentum. But we are into heavy lifting as well. So the answer is yes. We are staring at $50-100 million deals for quite a few as we move forward from here.
This is just one last question. So for H2, in the presentation, you mentioned that you expect growth to outperform H1 massively. So are we still on track? I mean, you've guided for about 750 to 7,000 crores. Can we aspire to about 6,500 to 6,600? So that will entail about 3,600 crores for H2. We've done about 29 to 3,000 in H1. Should we be in that ballpark or 6,500 to 6,600 crores?
Yes. So we, not so we said massively. That doesn't look like massive. But we are guiding to our plan upward of 6,700 was our goal, I believe. Yes. So we, as I told you in the last earnings call, if I remember correctly, we can even ask this question. We expect between 10 and 15% of sequential organic to be able to get there. We are on track to do that.
Thank you, Sanjeev and Deepak. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. For any further information, kindly get in touch with Purves Parekh, our Head of Investor Relations, or Strategy Growth Advisors, our Investor Relations Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Blackbox Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.